Hi there, everybody. I cannot say I'm seeing you, but briefly you will be seeing me for our Sunday service. What an interesting couple of days it's been. I think it's been about a week or two, but things keep on changing day by day. And we are struggling actually as a leadership group to stay ahead of the curve here. We will do a podcast, we speak on the podcast, give some ideas, and that very evening before we send the podcast, the situation changes again. But through it all, obviously, what we want to make sure of everybody knows is that God is sovereign. He is sovereign above all, gives us guidance through the scriptures. And prayerfully, as we continue our lesson today on navigating anxiety, it will be helpful to you as to how to navigate the time. But before we get into the lesson, I just wanted to unpack a couple of things as to where it is that we are planning on going over the next couple of weeks. So we sent out a podcast earlier this week saying this is definitely a time in which we need to find a new normal. So there was a normal before this time, and now there is a new normal now, and I need to figure out how do I navigate into this new normal at this time, because the playing field has changed, and yet there are certain things spiritually that we want to be able to move forward on or to be able to move ahead on. And so we're saying in the new normal, yes, well, we want to encourage people in this season of difficulty. And as we were thinking and praying through this, also realized that it's not only this season of difficulty, but there would be any season that you get that is new. You have a baby, you get married, you have some form of severe illness that has got nothing to do with corona. It's a season of difficulty and one needs to find a new normal. What do I need to do in that new normal? And what we've been saying is that our first and foremost priority need to be in the new normal is that I need to stay close to God. That's the beginning. All and end all of all. And what we've made available is a booklet on the book of Matthew that will help you work through the book of Matthew. It also has on the front of it, as I said before, the whole story of the Bible from movement 1 through to movement number 6 that you can familiarize yourself with. If you have the booklet, what I do want to encourage you is write. You have to answer the questions and you have to do it in writing. By the time you watch this, we must probably made available a PDF version as well, and you need to figure out how to do that. How do you write in that? Do you print it out? But don't just look at the questions and say, oh, yeah, that's me. If you write it down, and as you write some of these things down, you pray through it, I guarantee you will be transformational. For me, just working through that, creating that booklet was like, studying the book of Matthew was like, this is next level stuff with Jesus. So we can do that. Then the second thing we can do is also, since we are talking about the book of Philippians, is if you want to, again, your choice, maybe study out the book of Philippians and see what it is that you can learn from it. But so thing number one is stay close to God. Thing number two is to stay close to one another as a family group. And what we want to encourage you to do is to be in daily contact with your discipling partner. And what does that mean? Well, just hello, how are you? It doesn't have to be big. It can be a WhatsApp call, it can be a phone call, but the way that we are set up as a church is we can look after everybody if everybody actually just works in their family group and as people are staying connected to their discipling partner. And then also, if you have any needs, so every now and then I'll get a WhatsApp, what about this one, what about that one, what about this one, what do we do about this one, what do we do about that one? And all I'm saying to people all the time is it goes back to your family group. That's how we are different as a congregation, is that the minister or ministers or leadership team can certainly not meet everybody's needs. Their primary goal is to be able to help the family group leaders and to set a direction for the congregation. But in the family group, we can meet needs if we stay in contact. And the great thing about this over the next couple of weeks has been amazing to see how creative people have been. Again, people sending me things. I know that last night, the Jarcos, they had their family group in the south. Well, their family group is in the south, but they had a virtual family group. So you will see the Jarcos, there's Martin Gompo and Noku, there's Cyril, you've got Peter Myberg or the Mybergs over there. And again, creatively, they're sitting there, they're connecting. Then I know also, I think that what happened last night was all these ladies, well, I see it seems like one is lying on the floor there, had their small group. They had again on Zoom. Okay, so a virtual way of doing it. So you can get creative and be creative. And what happens in times of difficulty, I think we're incredibly resilient as people. I think God designed us that way to be able to know how to move forward. And it gives us creative ideas like this to be able to stay connected. And then the last one that we're encouraging people to do is to stay outward focused. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it's more blessed to give than what it is to receive. So how can I be a blessing in my current situation? I know as well last night there was a Bible study in the teen ministry that they did through WhatsApp call. Again, it doesn't It's not a time where we cease to be Christians, okay? It is a time where we adapt as Christians. But if we can just be keeping that front and center over the next couple of weeks, is I need to find my new normal. I want to stay close to God, connected to God. When am I going to be with God in the morning? Have a set time. Usually when one doesn't have, you're all over the place. That's been my experience with people. Secondly, stay close to one another. Do it daily. Stay connected to your discipling partner. Let them know of needs if you have needs that you're not able to meet yourself. And then lastly, stay outward focused. Let it not just be about us. So that's from a day to day. Then our plan forward with our Sunday services is obviously today, 29th of March, Navigating Anxiety. We are able to have on video. And then at this stage, also next week, we would also be able to have on the 5th of April, Navigating Anxiety Part 3 would also be on video. Now, the week thereafter, though, we're not able to provide video because of the lockdown, but what we'll have is we'll have an audio podcast, a sermon that I'll send out in the church communicator, and I'll send it with notes so that you're able to follow the notes and have a greater idea as to where the message is going. Then prayerfully on the 19th of April, we will either be, because that's after the lockdown, we'll either be back at Para High School, or if we're still not able to meet in bigger groups, we'll again have a video message, and the same with the 26th of April. And we'll figure it out as we go as to where to go and how to get there. So that's sort of the plan forward as to what it is that we're hoping for. But without further ado, why don't we say a prayer, and then we'll jump into the message for today, which is Navigating Anxiety. Let's pray at this time. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much that in anything and in all things that we can come to you, that we can pray a prayer over video, we can pray a prayer at church, we can pray it in our home, we can pray it in the street, we can pray it in our cars. And I pray, Father, that you will give us the peace that transcends all understanding, as Paul calls for in the book of Philippians, that you help us to be resilient, not be afraid, but actually courageous, and that we will I see this just as a wonderful opportunity how we can be led by your Spirit and figure out how can we in this time image you better into our surroundings, into our families, and to wherever it is that we move or be stuck in our house and expand the garden in that way. Father, please lead me as I speak, I pray in your Son's name. Amen. Okay, so we're speaking about navigating anxiety. We're looking at the book of Philippians in Philippians chapter 4. And it's almost, I'm not going to be a recap, but it's like many of my sermons. Unfortunately, when I start working on them and I look at things and I think, oh my word, but there's so much more here. And many of the scriptures, particularly in Philippians, are so dense that you cannot just run through it. You have to go back to it again and again and again and think through it and pray through it and try and figure out how does all of this work. And what I actually try and do when I study the Bible myself is I actually want to become a part of the message. In other words, I try to work myself into the story. So we're looking at the book of Philippians. It was written about 50, 60 AD. Paul's in prison. And so I'm trying to picture in my mind, what does that look like? I will maybe make an image available at some point as to what a cell could have looked like. But there Paul is sitting in prison, and he has a great relationship with the church in Philippi, Macedonia. He started the church there. He visited on his second missionary journey, as we said last time. The church is concerned about him. He is on trial. He might be executed. So they send to him a financial gift along with a brother called Epaphroditus. And the idea was twofold. Is one, bring a financial gift because there wasn't a prison system that took care of him. And with that financial gift, he would be able to buy food and sort of stay alive. But then secondly, this was a friendship letter where they wrote to him prior to Paul responding here in the book of Philippians, wanting to know, listen, how are you? How's life? Are you okay? How's things spiritually? How's things physically? And also sharing some of their own challenges is what we can read sort of in the background of this letter. And then Paul writes the letter here in Philippians addressing these things, making them aware of how he is doing. And then also trying to help them navigate their own anxieties. Now, they had anxieties about unity issues, they had anxieties about persecution and all kinds of things, but it helps them to work through it. And in it, he doesn't number it that way, but we can see it unpacked in the scriptures. In it, he gives them six nuggets that will be helpful, and I think, in navigating anxiety. We're going to look at three today, and then we'll look at three more next Sunday. And again, the number of them are not that important, as long as you get the feel for this as to what it is that Paul is trying to say to them. So nugget number one here is in Philippians 4, verse 4. Paul says to them, we looked at this last week as well. Okay, he says, rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. Okay, so nugget number one, how do you navigate anxiety? Now, we're in the middle of a storm here of, it seems like all that I hear every day, if I go into News 24, if I go on BBC News, if I go on CNN, all that you see is COVID-19, Corona, COVID-19, Corona, 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 Corona. I mean, News 24 has, rightly so, a tab that you click on it and it just gives you Corona updates. It's got a live update, whatever. But it seems like there is a storm going on and people are messaging and there's fake news and there's real news. But there's anxiety. I've got a bit of a sore throat. I wonder if I have the coronavirus. And now, who was I in contact with? And I mean, it becomes complicated. Then there's family dynamics. How does this work? If I'm sick and the kids are sick, who is passing it on to who? And man, that guy's kid looked sick and I saw him yesterday. How does that work? How's the family dynamic going to work into where we're moving in the next couple of weeks? I mean, we're talking about a lockdown. And what is that going to be like? As far as I know, we're not able to go for walks. I realized this morning I had my last prayer walk. So today is Thursday, if you wanted to know, for me, Sunday for you. But that was my last prayer walk for 3 weeks. I'm very dependent on those walks to be with God. Last one, you can't walk the dog, you can't run. So there's the lockdown issues. And then there's panic buying, where no matter how much the government says there's more than enough food, I mean, people are buying like crazy. Okay, now we have not quite gone there. And then there's financial implications. Am I being paid? Am I not being paid? Contract work, not contract work. Are other people that owe me money, if I have my own business, are they going to pay, or are they going to see this as an opportunity to actually say, hey, sorry, I just don't have money. Somehow there's a get out of jail free card here for me. So, I mean, it's pretty stormy. And then there's the big one that I think many parents are trying to figure out is, oh my word, cabin fever. Okay. How are we going to do this with the kids? Is it after 3 weeks, are we not going to have the virus, but people aren't going to find us? And when they come and look for us, they realize we didn't have the virus, but we actually killed each other. Okay. So, how do we navigate that? How do we work with all of that? What needs to happen here in the eye of the storm? And I think Paul is giving us great counsel here. And he says, what needs to be happening in the eye of the storm right in the middle of here is he says, rejoice in the Lord. So I cannot control my health. I cannot control a lockdown. I cannot control whether people will pay me or not pay me. I can manage a bit of the family dynamics. I cannot control the cabin fever because we're in the cabin, and I cannot control other people's panic buying. But what I can control is I can make a decision and say, in this time, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. And this is of critical importance. And we see this, I think, I can't remember even if we looked at it last week, but if we did, we'll look at it again. The psalmist, oh yes, we did. And the psalmist says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. In your presence. Not when you take my challenges and the storm away, but in your presence, there is fullness of joy. In other words, what he is saying is, in the midst of all of these things, in the midst of the storm, there can be fullness of joy. And he says that fullness of joy is in the presence of Jesus. He continues saying, in the presence of fullness of joy, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I mean, that's quite contrary to what it is that we would imagine. He is saying that in the midst of all of this chaos, this can actually be a time where you can be filled with the greatest joy and the greatest pleasure. And that comes from being in the presence of Jesus, rejoicing in the Lord. In his presence comes these things. We still somehow think that relieving these things will give us freedom, will give us peace. It can be this, it can be other things, it can be Corona, not Corona, it can be my job, it can be an increase, it could be my spouse being more loving, it could be getting married. We know the deal. We think that joy comes from these things, and often they do temporarily, but what the psalmist is saying, no, pleasures forevermore, this all happens in the presence of God. And we see it throughout the scriptures. We see it in Psalm 27. And he says in verse 4, this is one of my favorite psalms, there's one thing I ask of the Lord, this only that I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why would he want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life? He says to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. He's saying, listen, all I want to do is I just want to be, obviously for them, the temple. I just want to be at the temple. I want to be around the temple. And the reason I want to do it is I want to be able to gaze at the beauty of the Lord. We have spoken about this much over the last year, 2 Corinthians 3:18, wherever it might be, that says, and we too with unveiled face gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, or we, what does the scripture say? It's not just gaze, it's behold. Okay, as we behold the Lord, are being transformed into His image with an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So there is, and that's where the magic happens for me, is in the presence of God, in the presence of the Word. And this is, if people ask me, sure, and I probably look through this as to, I've been studying so many things over the last year or two around how we got the Bible, how it was formed, shaped, archaeology, what do we have, what don't we have, this. And if you were to ask me what is for me personally the, I don't want to say proof, I'm not sure if we're looking for proof, but of God's existence and His work, it is exactly that. It is being in the presence of God in front of the Scriptures, is gazing upon the beauty of the Lord and experiencing transformation. In other words, being able to become someone that you just, there is no way on God's pretty blue earth that you can do it by yourself. You see it happen. And what Paul is saying is in times of anxiety, that's what we need to do. In the midst of the storm, the tendency is going to be to drift. The tendency is, either I go in panic or I go in laissez-faire and I don't get the time with God that I need. What Paul's saying, gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Again, Psalm 33, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. Okay, so again, the psalmist here is saying in the midst of this, not even a storm, we're not sure if he's in a storm when he wrote that, but he says in the midst of all of this, what is my focus, where is my mind, where does my heart go, where does everything go? It says you. Whom have I in heaven, who is in your realm for me but you? Earth has nothing I desire besides you. And he says, I might have some challenges, and maybe you have challenges now of navigating all these things. He says, but my flesh and my heart might fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Okay. So he's saying everything is about God. You. The strength of my heart, my portion forever. Where does the focus need to be for us? Nugget number one, you want to navigate anxiety. This anxiety, any anxiety of the future. Where does your primary focus need to be? Rejoice in the Lord. Remember what it is that you have in Jesus, not what Jesus can give you. I think we want to find our joy there. Well, Jesus will solve my financial problems. Jesus will take away my agony. Jesus will heal my relational problems. And He might, or He might not, but He doesn't promise that He will. This is where we get confused with what the gospel is. And I want to remind us what we looked at last week. The gospel is that the messianic king promised by God is Jesus. Jesus is the messianic king promised by God. And that needs to be our focus. Is if we're saying we're rejoicing, we say, man, I rejoice in Jesus because from Him, because of Him, I now have freedom from the power of sin, of fear, and of death because of who He is. I can be restored to my humanity. As to who it is that God has called me to be, I don't have to be controlled by all these things. I have the gift of the Holy Spirit that actually empowers me to navigate anxiety, that empowers me to overcome sin, and I'm adopted into God's promised family. This is all part of just rejoicing in the Lord and saying, listen, it's not about the physical per se, although that is a portion of it. I mean, God created a beautiful world, but that I can be here, and my focus is I rejoice. That's where my hope lies. So, nugget number one, and maybe you want to switch off the video right now, so that's enough for you, and it actually could be, and if we just use the time, that's what I'm looking for, forward to, is yes, I need to do some work stuff, whatever, in the next 3 weeks, but just having extra time just to be with Jesus, I think it's, what a great blessing and opportunity. Okay, why is this so important? If you rejoice in the Lord and you make Him your focus and you remain in Him, you gaze upon Him, you behold Him, and this continues to grow over this time, and corona, not corona, same deal, then what will happen is your walk with God and your loving union with Jesus will overshadow and absorb your storm. It doesn't necessarily take it away, but it doesn't have the effect that it has on others because your freedom is in God. But the opposite is also true, is if I allow these things to get bigger and bigger and I fill my mind with these things and my time with God is minute, it's weak, it will eventually squish me and these things will drown me, and we don't want that. I don't want that for myself, don't want it for anyone else. So nugget number one, rejoice in the Lord. There was a lot said on a very simple point, but briefly it will be helpful. Number two, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. This passage has obviously two parts to it. Again, that's why I said it's so dense. There's the let your gentleness be evident to all, and then there is the let the Lord be near. I love this psalm. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. My refuge, my strength, my ever-present help. So where do I run to? I've got cabin fever. I don't have the patience with my kids. I'm single and I feel lonely and I can't see someone. Where do I run to? What should I do? God is my refuge and my strength. He is my ever-present help. Because now I'm going to be tempted, well, if I only had a friend, if I was only married, if only this, if only that. God is the refuge. He's the ever-present help in times of trouble. It connects to the previous point, but it's also connected to the second part and giving us the strength we need for that first part. 2 Chronicles 16:9, we looked at that last week as well. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those who are fully committed to Him. So what God is doing is he's in heaven and he's around, and he is, I thought of a cell phone tower, and he is searching. Okay, he is searching. He's looking throughout the earth. He is looking through each home, each street, each neighborhood, each city, each country, each continent, across the world, now, and not only now, but forevermore. And he is searching, he is looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. He is looking for those whose heart is beating for me, who is feeling the eternity that I've set in their hearts. And then what he does is he goes and he strengthens them, gives them the courage to do whatever it is that he is calling them to do in order for us to expand the garden. So now reversing back to the scripture, and this now gives us the strength to do this. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. So now the Lord is present. So let your gentleness, because the Lord is present, because God is with us and around us, inside of us, let your gentleness be evident to all. Now, as often happens with the Greek epikis, different commentators, different translators, translated in different ways, because it's such a broad word that gentleness doesn't necessarily all put together. But here are a couple of examples here as to how people translate this or use it in commentaries. Gentleness can be referring to a gentle spirit. Let your gentle spirit be evident to all. Let your sweet reasonableness, you know, sweetie, did you buy this? Did you buy this? Do we have enough? oh no, I forgot. Lockdown. Well, you can actually still go. But how are you going to handle that? Let your sweet reasonableness be evident to all, to your whole family and everyone around you. It's going to also be translated as generosity, as goodwill, to be compassionate and merciful with people's shortcomings when they don't handle things the way that you would have, which is usually very few people are exactly like us. A leniency with that, a big-heartedness towards people, and friendliness. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. What do you notice about all these words? What is it that they have in common? It's that they're in strong opposition to self. I've said it before a couple of Sundays ago, our biggest enemy, our biggest and darkest enemy is not Satan. Our biggest and darkest enemy is self. Okay, and what Paul is calling the congregation here, I believe even here, but back in Philippi, what he's calling them to is he's saying, listen, let that gentleness, let that reasonableness, let that kindness, let that mercy, let that grace, let it be evident to all. And again, as with the rejoicing in the Lord, as this grows bigger, I think all of this will be absorbed as we take the attention, the focus off of ourself and actually be who God has made us to be. Again, to last week, more blessed to give than what it is to receive. He then continues, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. We looked at that last week as well. Anxious, do not be unduly concerned about something. What is that something? Do not be anxious about anything. Anything. Sure. what does that mean? Anything. Anxiety. What am I anxious about? I can tell you what I'm not anxious about. I'm actually not anxious about this whole thing. But then I can get anxious about, should I be anxious? Or am I not getting what other people are getting? Am I missing this? Am I just putting it under the banner that I trust God, because I do believe God is sovereign and life happens and He works His thing? But then there's, but what about the kids? What about the finances? Everything that I mentioned before in the storm, it's all there. And He is saying, do not be anxious about anything. What does that mean? It says, and this is nugget number three, is leave no room for anxiety. Okay, anxiety is like the movies, the Bermuda Triangle, where it just sucks in everything. Okay, and will totally suck you in and spit you out. And we'll touch on that next week as well with the victim vortex. But do not be anxious about anything. So in your mind, what should be happening is, if you have loving union, if we're rejoicing in the Lord and we're having the times with God, that ultimately brings peace and what we're made for, and re-engages and empowers us to everything that is calling us to be. But if we have that loving union, it fills up part of your mind. If you remember that He's an ever-present help, and that forms part of your mind, and you decide that you're going to have a gentle spirit with people in your family, with other people that are reacting and responding differently than you, you make a decision that you're going to be friendly. You make a decision that you're going to be compassionate, and you're going to have a generous spirit to people around you. You're going to pay the maybe your helper that is not coming in right now. You're going to still pay them, even though they're not coming. You're just going to be generous in that way. You want to have a generous spirit, and you're going to be forgiving. If you follow Paul's advice, then what do you notice here is, there is no room for anxiety. If we follow the scriptural advice, if we're outward focused, if we're living in a loving union and we're gentle and we're kind, there will be no room for anxiety. So how do we navigate anxiety now? But as with so many things, I don't just think it's for the now. I think it's for the future. Of course, anxiety is always after us. How do we navigate anxiety? It's actually fairly simple. I'm not saying it's easy. Well, it will depend on how you view it, but it's simple, because I just need to rejoice in the Lord. What is it that I have in Him? Be in loving union with Him. Be gentle, be giving, and leave no room for anxiety. And I think that is just a great way that will change everything for us. I'm not saying it will solve our problems, but it will solve us, and it will deal with the deepest and darkest power inside of us, which is self. And that's the gospel. The gospel is not that Jesus came to die for us and so we can go to heaven. The gospel is that Jesus is the true King promised by God. He is the hope of the world. He's the hope of new creation. He is the hope that we can be broken free, and that we can break free from the power of sin, that the debt can be canceled. He is the hope that we can be transformed. Through Him we have the gift of the Spirit that transforms us, and we can be part of what God has designed us to be, and. That is what I want to encourage us to think about as we are going into the Lord's Supper. But just before we go into the Lord's Supper, just before we say a prayer for that, I do want us to be able to listen to a song. It's only the audio. There's a picture, but couldn't find live video for it, called Only My Jesus. It's I'm super into gospel music, although I certainly love singing when we're together. Of course, there's something transformative about it. But it's a song that I've been listening to a couple of weeks ago. I couldn't sleep, and I searched for songs at 3 in the morning. This is one of them, called Only My Jesus. And I think the heart of this artist is what I want to have, what I would encourage for each of us to have. And so let's listen to the song before we pray for the bread and the fruit of the vine. Amen.
Shall I walk through these troubles? With whom shall I stand in the dark? Oh, let it be only my Jesus, and only the strength in His arms. With whom shall I face my tomorrows? With whom shall I conquer my fears? Oh, let it be only my Jesus, who will not abandon me here. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of His steadfast love. I will sing, I will sing. Shall the glory be given? To whom shall the whole of earth bow? Oh, it will be only my Jesus, worthy to wear every crown. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of His steadfast love. I will sing, I will sing of only my Jesus. Whom shall I sing in the twilight, as my earthly breath starts to fade? Oh, let it be only my Jesus, still on my tongue be His praise. Still on my tongue be His praise. Oh, still on my tongue be His praise. I will see, I will sing, I will sing of His steadfast love. I will sing, I will sing of only my Jesus. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of His steadfast love. I will sing, I will sing.
Let's at this time pray for the Lord's Supper. Heavenly Father, I pray in this time and in any given time as we are on and off of a treadmill of either anxiety or work or all kinds of things, that in the midst of it all, that we will hold on to the words of Jesus where He said, remember me, and that we will remember that because of Jesus, because of not only His death, burial, and the resurrection, but the way that He lived, that He brought Your kingdom, Your rule and reign to earth as it is in heaven, and that through Him that new life can be born into us. And I pray that at this time, that as we eat the bread that and we drink the fruit of the vine, that we will not only be remembering it, but somehow in some way that it will also bring a renewal for us to be able to be whom it is that we cannot be by ourselves as we image You into this world. I pray in Your Son's name. Amen.